everybody. Thanks for being here. We're kind of punting today. We're here. We were going to hear some testimony today from months of summer hearings and testifiers on attendance and excessive unexcused absences, but we're not going to have time for that today. But I did want to hear from two speakers in particular that one drove about 15 minutes and the other drove about 90, so I'd like to hear from them. We'd like to hear from them today. The other thing we have, Senator Coleman and I have failed to do so far is go around and introduce all of ourselves, so that was my plan for today. And what I love asking people, and it's Senator Coleman, if we get it in on Wednesday, she gets to pick the question, but I always like to know, what book do you believe every high school student should read before they graduate? And so that was my book, and the one I always choose is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, which I think is a real valuable book for high school students. Anyways, we're not going to be able to do that today either. But our two testifiers today are Superintendent of the Year and Teacher of the Year. And what we hope to garner from both of your testimonies today is the notion that your colleagues and your peers have decided to bestow upon you a wonderful acknowledgement as the best teacher in the state of Minnesota and the best superintendent in the state of Minnesota. So you must be doing something that we want to honor and hopefully listen to your wisdom and knowledge, and maybe we can help all the other superintendents and all the other teachers, and by that, all the students and all the teachers in the state of Minnesota can benefit from your wisdom. So with no further ado, is that a phrase, further ado? Or is it no further ado, or? Okay, thank you. Superintendent Putnam, are you ready? Because the screens all went blank. Are you worried about that?
No, it's a day we're all
going to
roll with it today.
Okay, is there a sign-up sheet up there?
I have one.
Okay, sign in, introduce yourself, and we're anxiously awaiting what you have to say. And again, congratulations. Does it go on to a national Superintendent of the Year, perhaps? So good luck in that process, and we'd love to have the superintendent, the National Superintendent of the Year, represent Minnesota. So thank you for what you're about to say.
Thank you, and I am going to have to reconnect to my hotspot. Thank you, Chair Swazinski and members of the Ed Policy. I'm so grateful that you are, is that better, Senator Kunesh?
You have to turn on the mic.
Anybody know how?
I'm pretty sure I saw Senator Putnam turn it off earlier.
He probably did.
Well played, Senator Duckworth.
I'm actually surprised I didn't sit on a whoopee cushion, frankly. those of you who know my husband.
Just to let everybody know, I do plan on having committee till about 2:45, so FYI.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, I am honored to be here today to talk about the Superintendent of the Year Award. I want to talk a little bit about what the award is, and then share a little bit about our St. Cloud community. I truly believe you'll see those beautiful folks that are on the screen up here. This is my new Board of Education. We got two new members this round, and I've been blessed to work with a group of truly committed individuals who love all kids. And so I couldn't ask for better. So while this award has my name on it, I truly believe that this is a community award. It's a testament to the team that sits around me, to our staff, our students, our families, and as you'll see from this presentation, the way this St. Cloud community shows up for our kids, it moves me almost to tears. So I'm really grateful to share a little bit about St. Cloud. First, the Superintendent of the Year selection process. It starts with a nomination, so all of us who are even up for consideration do have to be nominated by our peers. I was blessed to receive two nominations, one from my one of my assistant superintendents and one from the superintendent in Willmar. And so that was a real honor, to your point about colleagues selecting. That we do complete an application. It was quite extensive. Lots of essays and supporting materials, and then that all that package gets reviewed by, I'm sure these, I don't like to put acronyms, but I feel certain that this committee will be familiar with all of the EdOrg acronyms that are up there. So representatives from all of those education organizations, as well as the previous year's winner, and those of you may recall that Superintendent Joe Gothard was last year's Superintendent of the Year, and in fact the National Superintendent of the Year. So we're really proud of him, despite the fact that we did lose him to Wisconsin. We will always claim him as one of our superintendents of the year. And then here are the criteria that we are evaluated on. I won't read them all to you. You can see them, but we had to submit documentation or evidence of how we performed in each of those four categories, and I'll talk a little bit about that today. First, I want to talk a little bit about who we are. Who are St. Cloud Area Schools? I think that we are often misunderstood as a school district. And so, as you can see up here, some of our beautiful past and current students, we have 88% of our students are future ready. And we define that, we define that as graduating with either college credit, work experience tied to a career interest, or an industry certification. And when I became superintendent a couple years ago, that was my commitment, was that by the end of 2025, 100% of our students would graduate. We last year hit about 88%, and we already provide industry certifications for CNA, Safe Serve, so our students who are going into the food industry, and then an OSHA certification for safety for our students who are going out into the trades. 20% of our students take advanced courses, and we do meet or exceed state and national rates in a variety of student subgroups. 70% of our students are also food insecure. They are not sure when they leave us where their next meal is coming from. 25% of our students qualify for IEPs, with 23% coming to us and receiving multilingual services. And then 10% of our students, which is an insane number, 10% of our students qualify as homeless or in transitional housing. And I want to show you just a brief video, because I can speak it, but to see our students and our community is all the better.
Imagine.
Imagine. Can you guys see the video? Do you guys have any way to see the video?
Imagine, a place where every dream is within reach, where rigorous academics and lifelong learning are what we do and who we are, where innovation, creativity, and passion thrive, where each step forward prepares us for college, careers, and life. Imagine a culture that makes excellence the standard, that celebrates diversity and fearlessly embraces the unknown and each other. Imagine a community that works towards common goals, that builds together, plays together, learns together, and grows together. A community that supports families in and outside of the classroom. Imagine a world where every student feels engaged, inspired, and empowered, where safety, care, and compassion are as essential as achievements. A world of promise and endless possibilities. A world of opportunities. Imagine a place that won't settle for anything less. We are St. Cloud Area Schools.
Now, if I can get out of that, it'll be a miracle in and of itself. thank you for taking the time to take a look at that video. Statistics are certainly one thing, but to be able to see and hear directly from our students and our staff and our community, I think gives you a better sense of who we are. We often have far more in common with our urban counterparts than the school communities that surround us. And so we are grateful to be good partners with them, but then also to make connections here in the metro as we navigate some of the beautiful opportunities and challenges that we face every day in public education. Thinking about the superintendent of the year, I often say that you lead who you are. And I suspect you guys know that very clearly because you have to make decisions all of the time, often without a lot of preparation. And who we are shows up every moment in the decisions that we make. So my leadership values are authenticity, transparency, and hope. And I've guided all of the decisions that I have made. And since beginning as a superintendent a couple years ago, are really centered on those three things. And so hopefully as you see some of the things that we'll talk about next, those will show up. When I became superintendent, I knew it was really important to get engaged with our community. While I had been in St. Cloud since 2009, I was in a variety of different roles, and I wanted the community to get to know me and me to get to know the community. So I met monthly with anybody who wanted to stop in, and then in each of our schools dropped in regularly for about an hour and just heard what's on people's minds. We also started a family advocate position so that our families who were, I would say, traditionally underserved by our school system, had somebody that they knew that they could go to, and who served as that liaison between the parent and a system, which, we are the 15th or 16th largest school district, can seem overwhelming to families who don't know how to navigate systems. And we also began inclusive decision-making protocols. I think often we ask for input, for instance, in those community engagement sessions. And if we're not clear about how those decisions are going to get made, sometimes people walk away, well, you asked and you didn't take my feedback. Well, no, we listened to your feedback. We just weren't clear about who was then going to go make that decision. So we implemented three forms of decision-making protocols that we use all the way from the school board into classrooms so that people are very clear about how decisions will get made and who under whose sphere of influence those decisions fall. And I think that that's really helped to that transparency. It's really helped build some trust across our district at all levels. And again, that open communication, and I've been very clear about our successes and our challenges, and I don't run from those. And then I also ask people to put those in context. And then we see, since we've, the last couple years, and this year specifically, we have seen a growing attendance rates. I know you guys were going to talk about attendance. Our consistent attendance has been, this year is the highest since the pandemic, and for the first time in 5 years, we've actually seen a student enrollment increase, and that was not kindergartners, so it wasn't just a bubble. It was actually in grades 1 through 12, and so I am... Oh, goodness sakes. So I am really confident that the transparency and authenticity and hope that is imbued throughout our district is paying off. The other things that I talked about in my application were the things that guide what I ask our school community to do. First of all, it's no noise. Right, we see you guys very well understand what noise can mean to your goals and to the things that you're working on, and so we work really hard to just stay off the radar, right? And to be about it, don't talk about it. That we can continue to do good work for every student in our district, and we don't have to talk about it, right? We can just align our words to our actions and carry on. And so that's been very high. No problem. So that's been something that's been really successful for us as we've watched some controversy swirl around us. They're all my dear friends, those superintendents, and I don't wish it on anybody, but I'm glad it's not us because we're just carrying on. And then, I am really committed to making sure that the public space of public education is neutral. And that causes me some hard decision-making sometimes from all of the political spectrum. There are people who wish that I would take more stands for advocacy in terms of what's in a classroom, but every single person, no matter their religion, their culture, their perspective, needs to find a welcoming space. And so that's something that we strive for in St. Cloud Area Schools. We have worked really hard to supplement the funding, and of course, grateful for the additional funds that you guys gave us over the last few years. We try to use that very wisely. We take that responsibility very seriously. But we've also worked hard to bring in additional money. And so you'll see that we have anywhere from partnering with St. Cloud Rotary to take 90 students off our preschool wait list. Unfortunately, we still have over 100 students who would like to receive high quality public preschool education that we aren't able to serve, but we continue to work on that. We also, again, thanks to many of you, were able to get a start on building an ambulance bay. I believe very strongly that one of our jobs is to prepare our community's workforce of tomorrow, and being a community that is surrounded by significant healthcare needs, we are working to prepare not only nursing assistants and nurses and doctors, but also emergency EMR, emergency medical response, and paramedics. So excited for that. We did get an $800,000 federal grant to do significant school safety improvements. And then we are most proud of the $2.5 million grant we got from the federal government. We're one of only a handful of districts across the country who received that amount of money. And we're able to put it, to begin two full-service community schools. And when you look at the kinds of needs that our community comes to us with, we know that 8 hours a day is not enough. And so being able to provide some of that wraparound support, evenings, weekends, and to provide families with education on either job development or housing or financial security is really, we know, only benefits our kids. And finally, I just want to say that I'm very grateful, and on behalf of our entire district, we are so very grateful for the support that you provide us as public educators. There are so few public spaces left where people come. We see a decline in church attendance. We see a scarcity of public transportation, particularly out where we live. And so those common commitments to public gathering, I think, are fewer and farther between than they were decades ago. And so we're really grateful to be a place where everybody can show up and everybody can get a free, high-quality education where we can prepare the citizens and workforce of tomorrow. So really grateful for the support that you give us and other districts across the state.
Thank you, Superintendent. Questions, comments from members for the superintendent? Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Dr. Putnam. Congratulations on being named Superintendent of the Year. It's a great honor. I have a question for you related to PSEO, something that I've been hearing from superintendents and principals and school board members in the district that I represent are concerns related to more and more students taking PSEO classes, and then, of course, how the current funding formula works. The public school districts saying they're losing that funding, and of course the higher ed institutions welcome those students. Have you had this similar concern in St. Cloud with students leaving the public schools and doing PSEO options?
You know, I certainly understand that perspective. It has not been a significant topic of conversation in our district. I understand that the money follows the student, but then, you know, we also aren't staffing the teacher for when they're gone, right? So I know we all want the financial support all the time, and yet it has not been a significant issue for us.
Yep. Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it. And again, congratulations on your honor. It's very cool. It's always great to see pictures and video of the district and the kids and the teachers doing the fine work of what they do every day in school buildings. We all know that it's challenging during session to still try to get some work done and balance everything. And I'm just wondering for you, given your circumstances, if actually when we're in session, you find that you're able to get more work done.
There are fewer distractions in my home.
Members, Well, again, congratulations.
Thank you.
We're dealing with attendance issues as a body this session. And in your presentation, the video, the narrator said you empower the students. And so I'm just curious how exactly we, I think if a student feels like they're part of something larger than themselves, they're more likely to come to school. So I'm interested in what your district and you yourself are doing to empower our youth so that they want to come to school. Secondly, just magic dust, if there's one thing that you would like to recommend to this body today while you have the mic, that of something that maybe we could take it off the plate of superintendents and make your job a little bit easier to make the jobs of teachers and bus drivers and cooks and paras and everybody else involved in the education process lives go a little bit smoother. We'd love to hear your insight into that. And again, congratulations on your honor.
Thank you, Senator Sundzinski. You know, one of the things that we've found best, and I wrote about it in Ed Week last year, it was kind of a calling to task because I kept hearing people say kids don't care. Kids these days don't care. And I don't believe that for a second. So one of the things that I cited in that article that we have been since expanded is we give our kids jobs. And they apply and they interview. It's even at like elementary schools, right? We have we have kids who do morning announcements and that is their job. And we have kids who make coffee and we have kids who water the plants and every single staff member helps create a job for a student. And I think that's an engagement strategy where they know someone is counting on them. Right? There's a whole community, there's a classroom, there's a plant. Something does not get done if they don't show up. I think when we think about those, what drives people, right? Autonomy, right? Creativity, interdependence, right? So those are some of the strategies that we have found to be really successful. And we saw attendance going up in our schools that implemented that. And our kids are so proud. They have IDs just like teachers do, and they take it very seriously, and it creates a cool community. So that's one strategy. I don't do your jobs, you don't do mine, and so I would never. I appreciate the opportunity, right? But I would never presume to advise. What I do ask when people say, "Well, what could we do to support you differently or public schools differently?" The things that I say are to be curious and don't make assumptions. That if you want to know something, right? There's that whole thing for a while ago, right, with the litter boxes. Like, for God's sakes, we don't have litter boxes in schools. Like, ask us, come visit, right? Don't assume. Don't write about what you think you know, but give us the chance and find out. So that would make, I think, my job and probably your job and all of our jobs a little easier in the end.
Thank you for coming in today, and that's a great idea what you do with those kids. And do I have to call the sergeant at arms in?
to get some
unruly members of the audience. Congratulations again, and thanks for coming.
Thank you for your time.
Teacher of the Year, Ms. Trey, come on up. Introduce yourself. Mr. Bird, welcome to the committee and introduce yourself.
Thank you.
And make sure you sign in as well.
Okay. So I'm Tracy Bird. I teach ninth grade English at Minneapolis Washburn, and I'm Minnesota's 2024 Teacher of the Year. And you wanted just a little background of what went into it and kind of where we are, where we landed.
You have the floor.
Oh.
You are Teacher of the Year. Your wisdom and knowledge and expertise, we welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It was over winter break, and I received an email saying that I had been nominated for Teacher of the Year. And I immediately closed my Chromebook and said, no. I'm already doing enough. Like, I'm already looking at emails, and I'm supposed to be on break, and so I'm not gonna do that. Probably 24 hours, 48 hours later, I started thinking, okay, somebody thought enough of you to nominate you. The least you can do is go through the nomination process. So as the superintendent just said, it's a pretty similar process. I wrote some essays, and which for me, you know, teaching ninth grade English was kind of like, okay, we can do that. Chased some people down for some letters of recommendation, and they were more than willing to do that. Put that portfolio together, sent it off, and then waited, and then went back to my normal day-to-day of 5 classes, 55-minute sessions, a 5-minute passing time in between where I think about going to the bathroom unless 3 students have questions, and then there's obviously no way I'm getting to the bathroom then, and then we get to lunch, and that's a half hour, and that's what you get unless you have 4 students that have questions, and then, well, you get into there, and sometimes you eat, sometimes you don't, but it was one of those things where, for me, I never saw myself as a teacher. I had a principal who saw something in me at Wayzata that I was a hall monitor, that I didn't see in myself, forced me to go back to school. I did. I tell my students every day, I am the teacher in front of you right now that graduated from Washburn, that went and I was removed from one school twice and dropped out from one school twice. So when you're trying to find value, like you were saying, find something that's bigger than you, at that early age, there wasn't any of that. Found my way into the financial industry, working at Piper Jaffray, and came in with no degree working on the trading floor, or working on IRAs, and then moved up to the trading floor. Again, I was no degree, so in that space, very few women, very few African Americans. So I found myself there, and big bank bought little bank, and so there wasn't a job. And then that was the pivot of where are we gonna go? And it was education. I said, I'm gonna be a hall monitor literally for the rest of my life. And this principal said, no, you have more to offer. So again, when I got the email of the nomination, I filled out the nomination, I sent it back in. It was probably close to 3 weeks. I got another email saying you've moved on to the semifinal round. And it was kind of like, I don't know what that means, but okay. I mean, this is good. And then it was put together some videos. If you were going to be at a Capitol hearing, how would you talk to banned books? Because that was the thing last year. So kind of what would you say? Created a video, did some more writing, sent that in, and then they said, well, now you're a finalist. You're moving from the 165 down to the group of 11. And now when we're in the group of 11, they bring us into a room and you have a half an hour session of which there's going to be 15 people sitting around a table and you're going to get 13 questions and you just have to make sure that your responses allow for 13 questions to be asked. I went in before that. The door opens up and I'm like, well, where do I sit? And I saw water and the chairs and everyone sitting there holding a microphone. I'm like, here's my seat. But before that, I was with my partner and we called another work colleague who is an ordained minister. We had a prayer session. And so when I walked into that interview, I mean, I had like that peace that passes all understanding. Like I knew all I have to do is answer these questions, and then whatever is going to happen is going to happen. And so they threw out some questions, and the biggest thing is my sole belief is if you're for kids, if you're truly for the students, then you will do things that benefit them. if you are doing things because, you know, they fit into your schedule or don't fit into your schedule, then that may not be for students. And in this job, everything that I do is for the students. Like, so today, because I got the tremendous honor of being here. I mean, again, kicked out of one school twice, dropped out of one school twice. No way would I be here, and yet here I am. The students are kind of like, Mr. Bird, what are you going to do? I don't know. I mean, so they're walking this journey. Last year's class are now sophomores. I got a freshman class this year. They're all walking this journey. There's a national piece to this that we should know some information in the next 72 hours or so to see kind of what happens. It was the same thing where you put together some writing, you get some letters of recommendation, you send those in, and now there's 56 of us with the territories, and then it will whittle itself down to 4. So we're waiting to see like who's in that round of 4 and then kind of what that looks like. But I tell the students every day, I tell my friends every day, I don't know of another job that I would do. This is the thing. Seeing the students light up when we're talking Shakespeare and they have no idea what William is even writing about. And I'm like, yeah, but if he came here, he wouldn't know what you're talking about either. So now how are we going to move past that? And when they do that and then take in that information, I mean, there's no better feeling. So I'm lucky, blessed, that I get to do this every day. And having said that, Washburn has some unique challenges where we have 38% of our students are like highly mobile and the poverty level. So we've got those challenges there. And then we're located in a relatively affluent area. So we have students that are trying to get, you know, top scores and off to college and all the challenges that might come with perfectionism and that at the same time. So it's one of those, there's no such thing as a typical day, but I love it. I was checking, I got emails already. The quarter ended on Thursday. The district gives us a day off Friday. Then I spend Saturday and Sunday keeping all the records and getting the grades because they were due this morning at 8:30, and now the students are emailing because they want to challenge their grade. It's just like, can we just move on to third quarter? Can we just move on? But that's like that. That's what they bring. Like, and so it's one of those things where they bring energy. I match their energy on days where I'm feeling kind of low. They know that. And they're kind of special, and they bring that special energy to pick me up on days where I know they're low. I know I can push them, and so we're the 311 learning community at Minneapolis Washburn. And so, if any of you would ever like to come out and see how it goes down, by all means, the doors are open for you. I mean, I try to show my students things that they wouldn't normally necessarily see on a day-to-day basis. Some conversations happen around dinner tables, and some houses don't even have a dinner table. So I try to bring different experiences for all of the students because we never know where they're going to go. We know they're going to go somewhere. It's never a matter of if they get it. It's just when. Like, is it going to happen right away? Is it going to happen in 5 years? For me, I was mid-30s before it clicked. I mean, and now here I am now. So it's one of those, we're just pouring in. And I'm proud to be part of the Washburn community and a representative of them. I'm number 60 for Teacher of the Year, the first one at Minneapolis Washburn. And so it's an honor. It's a tremendous honor.
Thank you.
Members, questions, comments, Senator Duckworth?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for making the time to be here. Congratulations on your honor. I'm curious to hear, if you don't mind sharing, what your experience was like obtaining the education to become a teacher and obtaining that licensure. Your background is very interesting, and I would appreciate if you'd share that with us, please.
Okay, thank you. It was different. Like I said, I had told the principal, like, I tried to do school, wasn't very good at it, but that's when I was younger. And so now, at the time, I'm married, I have a house, I have a son, so there are different responsibilities. And so now, you know, people are looking at me to make the right decisions. And so going back for that freshman year, I was just kind of like, is this what school is it? I mean, this is easy, like this. But when your priority lines up with the end goal, then it is pretty easy. But it was one of those, there were times that were stressful. There were times where I went to my principal and I just said, I can't do this. I'm working 40 hours a week. I'm coaching I'm coaching football. I'm coaching track. I'm just being around the students. And I don't have enough time to still be a father and a husband and do this schoolwork. And my principal looked me in the eye and, well, I'm not going to say exactly what she said, but she was like my mom, and she made it known, you're going to finish this. And, you know, that's all we need, and I try to provide this for the students, is just somebody that's going to be their rock and believe in them. Because we'll question ourselves 9 times out of 10. Like, we'll find a reason to not do something, and we need that person that's going to push and say, yeah, you're right, all this is going on, and you still can do this. And she was that, and paying for school was difficult, but it was one of those things where it was an investment. So here I am, eighth year of teaching ninth grade English, and loving it.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for being here today. Congratulations on your honor. And Mr. Chair and members, the only thing I want to say is your students are so lucky to have you. And I don't have much inspiration to go back to high school, but I may come back and visit your classroom. You've inspired me. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And any time. I mean, it's one of those things where we're fortunate enough that we're a year-long class. And so we work on being humans first. Then we're going to work on the art of communications. The screens, the COVID, it definitely derailed what we were trying to do. But the students now they're having that capacity in them. They know they want to be better. But it's like, if you don't know anything more than the person sitting next to you at the end of the year than you did at the beginning of the year, then we just wasted a whole year. So it's that whole pushing them, I call it experience discomfort. Like I know you don't want to do it, and you're still going to do it, and you're going to be great at it because that's just who you are. Go be great.
Senator May Quaid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Byrd, thank you so much for being here with us. I have such a love for high school English teachers. Mine, when we read Shakespeare, was like, now listen, he loved Rosalind and now he's in love with Juliet. Like, there's never been a more 14-year-old kid thing in the entire world. And yes. I never felt so seen until I read that passage with that new context. And so I love high school English teachers. And there was a part of your story, there were so many parts of your story that stuck out to me. But you talked about your application and you had to comment on banned books. And I was wondering if you're sitting in front of a group of legislators where many of these book bans are coming from, and you wanted to share as a high school English teacher, what would you want us to know?
Well, one, that once you start banning books, somebody is gatekeeping. And then who put you in charge of what somebody else should or shouldn't be reading? We also know that once you ban a book, that's going to be the most popular book out there. So there's almost a notion of, please, ban them all, because that's going to get them to start reading. But it is that slippery slope of what do I think that I know and how I can shape somebody else versus allowing them to open the book and then jump into this new world, and now I go on the ride with them. I'm more of that, I'm more of the latter. Like, if you're reading something and you want me to go on that journey with you, I'm all for it. I'm never going to tell you not to read this book. Like, that's just not what I do.
Thank you. I wish we had a more time for both recognition honorees. And thank you for your inspiring words today. My ninth grade teacher, we had to read Romeo and Juliet, and I wrote the poem based on the book. It wasn't a cafe they first met, Romeo for what Juliet, twasn't a cafe they first met, and there it was, he first fell into debt, Romeo for what Juliet. And I got an F, and the teacher, I know, I thought it was worth a gentleman's D minus, but it said F, you clearly didn't read the book. But thank you, and again, I apologize to anybody that got stiff today. The Senate had some pretty important business on the floor, but we hope to have you back. And if you did come to see the attendance bill being discussed, we are hearing it in finance tomorrow, similar testifiers. So if that's why you were here today, maybe you can come back tomorrow. And again, thank you, members, and thank you, honorees, and good luck as both of you move on to the national level. Thank you, and with that, we adjourn.